Appreciate you doing that for pilots. No, okay. Well, that might be good. That's a manly piece. I like that. Good job. Who's singing tonight? Who's up? Nobody? Oh, okay. Come on, ladies. All right.
Took my feet from the miry clay. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And placed them on the rock to stay. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations I'm blessed. Tell them that Jesus made me whole. And he brought me joy, joy to my soul.
Song I hadn't heard for a long, long time. That used to be a real popular song in the church. Good singing. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Find that place in your Bible. Deuteronomy 4. Find that passage. And announced this morning that I wanted to speak to you on the subject of our kids, grandkids, and the Ten Commandments. And we're talking this year a lot of emphasis on the family, the home. And so a lot of lessons, a lot of preaching on that topic. Our kids, grandkids, and the Ten Commandments. Let's stand together if you're able to do that in honor of God's Word. I'm not going to read the entire passage that we'll be looking at tonight. So let me just read a few verses, beginning with verse 5. Verse number 5. Behold, this is Moses now, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look down to verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So that would be your kids and your grandkids, right? Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. I'm getting a funny sound up here. Do y'all hear that? It's kind of, is it a ring, Tom? It's not really a ring. It's a bassy thing up here, maybe in the monitors. So this subject tonight, our kids, grandkids, and the Ten Commandments. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Teach us from it tonight. I pray, God, for all the families. I pray for parents and grandparents. I pray, God, that you'll put a burden upon our hearts to make sure that our kids are reared with the moral code of the Ten Commandments in their minds and hearts. And we know that not one soul can live up to the Ten Commandments. But, Lord, that's something good to shoot for. And a lot of life can be built on that foundation. So help me tonight, please. And may it fall on good ground and find ground that it can bring forth fruit from in the service tonight. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Israel has been in the news again lately. I read where the prime minister has been attempting to broker a ceasefire or some kind of peace accord or agreement between Russia and Ukraine. I've not followed things that closely to know if he's made any progress. I do know he's been going back and forth from what I read. And it's very interesting to me to see a leader in the Jewish government having that kind of influence with other world governments. And always remember this, people, no matter what kind of event is going on in the world, China is a concern, Russia is a concern, what's going on in Ukraine is evil, but you got to always, Israel will always be at the center of everything. You have to remember that. What's going on in the nation of Israel? And I read, somebody sent me an email this week where there's talk about, I guess Biden has interfered with this to some degree, but talking about Israel providing oil to the European continent. Well, that'll make Russia real happy if that happens. Israel providing food to the European continent. You don't underestimate that little land, that little piece of land over there. It's an amazing little country. Nothing about Israel's successes should surprise us. Nothing. They have an unusual status of being the chosen people of God. And that truth is made very clear by Moses as he was speaking to the Israelites in what we know as chapter 4. It wasn't chapter 4 when Moses was talking to them, but we know it as chapter 4. Look with me at verse number 6. It's a very interesting verse, okay? Verse 5, we read that a moment ago. Moses had taught them God's statutes and judgments that God wanted them to observe when they got settled in the promised land. So he said, the things that I've taught you, the statutes and judgments, even as God commanded me. So you're going into the promised land. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is the prelude to the promised land. Children of Israel going in. So he said, I've taught you exactly what God wanted me to teach you. Look at verse 6. This is interesting. Now read it slowly. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now notice what God said his statutes and judgments would be for the children of Israel. It would be their wisdom and their understanding in the sight of all the nations. So the statutes and judgments are going to make you a wise and an understanding people. And the statutes and judgments of God still make us wise and understanding. Okay? So that's what's going to happen. And the nations are going to see you. They're going to watch you. And they're going to hear of the statutes and judgments that you live by. And they're going to say about you, the Israelites, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, remember, get that, folks. Nations that do not know the Lord God are going to notice how you live. That's what Moses is telling them. And they're going to say, those people that came out of Egypt are a wise and understanding people. They are a great nation. And God said the reason they will say something like that is because of my statutes and my judgments that you live by. They make you a great nation. That's what he's saying here. Now look at verse 7. Moses agrees with this. Look at verse 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Moses agreed with what God told him the people would say. He said, you know, what other nation has God so nigh? You can call on your God, and your God hears you, and your God answers you. What other nation has statutes and judgments so right and so good as the law that God has given me to set before you, and God has blessed you with that? What nation is so great as you because of those statutes and judgments, that God is so near you? Look at verse number 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day. The truth is, folks, there was no other nation that God was so close to as the nation of Israel. And there was no other nation with a law so right and so good as the nation of Israel. They were a special, they still are a great nation. Now, the bulk of the nation now is not living by God's statutes and judgments and ordinances. But they were back then. And Moses said, when you get in the promised land, it's those statutes and judgments that shape your life and mold your life. They're going to make you almost have heathen nations saying about you, man, that's a great nation. And God said, don't forget, it's not you that's so great. It's my statutes and my judgments that make you great. Okay? And then verse 9, Moses gives them a warning. We didn't read this. Oh, yes, we did. We read this verse here. Only take heed to thyself. So he says, don't forget the things that you've seen God do. The things that God has taught you. Don't let them depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them. You make sure you teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And this is what caught my attention this week. Then Moses points out something that they really want to fail, that they don't want to fail to teach their kids and grandkids, something very specific. Look at verse 10 at the first word in the verse. Especially. Okay? So all these statutes and all these judgments that I've given you, and you're going to live by them, and because you live by them, heathen nations are going to look at you and say, man, what a great nation. He said, don't you move too far from those statutes and judgments. In fact, don't let them depart from your heart. And you take them and you teach them to your kids and your grandkids, especially. Verse 10, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. What's he talking about? When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Verse 11, ye came near, stood under the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, thick darkness, and the Lord spake unto you. Look at verse 13, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. What God was talking about was the day that he gave Moses those 10 commandments. He wrote those 10 commandments on those 2 tables of stone. So Moses says, you know what? God doesn't want you to let these things depart very far from your heart. You keep them in front of your face. You don't forget them. And you teach your kids and you teach your grandkids. And especially you teach them the 10 commandments. What he said. Amen. Teach him the 10 commandments. That's what God gave Moses on those tablets of stones. So he gave them the 10 commandments. So teach your kids and grandkids the 10 commandments. Why would you do that? Because they will make your kids and grandkids wise and full of understanding and living by those commandments. Will cause your kids and your grandkids to have such a wonderful and right life that even the heathen will say, that's a great nation. That's a great nation. And folks, the commandments are still right and still good today. Now, there's not a person in this room who can live up to the moral code of the Ten Commandments. But that doesn't mean they're not relevant for today. They are still good. And they're still right for kids today. Want to know what to teach your kids, mom and dad? Want to know what to teach the grandkids, grandparents? The Ten Commandments are a good place to start. I want to answer the question tonight, why were the Ten Commandments so needful for the kids of the Hebrews to know? And why are they still so needful for us today, for our kids today and our grandkids? All right? 4 things. First of all, number 1, the Ten Commandments teach kids how to live for God. The Ten Commandments teach kids how to live for God. They were going, people, now they're going into a land here in the book of Joshua. They're going into a land which was full of the worship of false gods, full of idols. And those commandments would give those kids good instructions as how to live for the one true God, Jehovah God. The people living in the land of Canaan would have never influenced the kids of the Israelites to worship Jehovah. They would have influenced those kids to worship false idols. So God commanded, gave the commandments to help the Israelites lead their children to truth about their God, the one true God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Wonder why he gave them that commandment. Because the land they were going into was full of graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The people of the land in which their kids and grandkids were going to live had chosen not to worship the true God. How do I know that? I know that from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that everybody makes a choice about choosing the truth about creation or rejecting the truth about creation. That's what Romans chapter 1 tells us. So these people had obviously rejected the truths about God that are clearly seen in creation. God said they're clearly seen. And because of that, they had become vain in their own imaginations. They had changed the glory of the incorruptible God, who is a spirit, into images of men and birds and beasts and serpents, and they were worshiping those graven images. They had corrupted, if you would, the glory of the incorruptible God. That's the environment into which the Israelites were taking their children and their grandchildren. And so God gave them these commandments so that they could teach their children. That's not true. You serve the true God. You worship the true God. And they gave them the commandments to teach their children and their grandchildren about the true God. And people, here's where this application. Look, your kids and our grandkids are being born into and brought up in a land that unfortunately is not much different when it comes to the worship of the true God than the land of Canaan was. Not much different. How many Americans have rejected the truths about God that are seen in creation, and they now worship and serve the creature more than the Creator? And it's in our news every day. All this green legislation that's being enacted today in hopes of climate control because Mother Earth is falling apart. That's nothing different than what was happening back in the land of Canaan. It's the worship of the creature instead of the Creator. The laws on the books today that protect animals and allow for the killing of babies is really nothing new, folks. It's the result of rejecting God. That's what was going on in the land of Canaan. That's what's going on in our country today. And the need to teach the Ten Commandments to children today is no less important than it was for the Hebrews back in Moses' day. Teach your kids, teach your grandkids the importance of thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Teach them those things. Those are good commandments. That is a great moral code. The result of failing to teach their kids back then meant that their kids would live as heathen pagans. And I'll make you a promise. You don't teach your kids, and you don't put them in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, and your kids will live as heathen pagans as well. That's the honest truth. The result of failing to teach our kids today, it results, our kids don't grow up living like heathen pagans. They grow up living like cultured pagans. But heathen or cultured, their kids back then and our kids today should not live as pagans. There's no reason for any young person in this church, in this service tonight, to 5, 10, 15 years from now be living as a heathen or cultured pagan. No need for that. You've been taught what's right. And if you're parents, if you're not doing this in your home, then God help you. You get back to teaching the children the moral code of the Ten Commandments. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to make us saved. That is a good moral code that teaches us how to live for our God. Don't put any other God before Him. Nothing wrong with that. Remember the day of the Lord, if you will, to keep it holy, set apart for God. So the Ten Commandments teach kids how to live for God. Number two, the Ten Commandments teach kids how to treat others. Not only do the Ten Commandments teach kids how to live for God, they also teach kids how to treat others. Because not only did God want the kids not worshiping and living for false gods and false idols, He also did not want them treating each other like those people were treating each other. These were the inhabitants of the land of Canaan had rejected the knowledge of God. I said that already. You know what that resulted in, folks? That resulted in their behavior being defiled. And I mean with each other. And the Bible says that their behavior had defiled the land. And God did not want His people living like the heathen who had defiled the land with their behavior. Those people lived wickedly in their behavior toward each other. So Moses tells them, you teach your kids and grandkids to honor their father and their mother. What does that tell you about the land of Canaan into which they were going? Those kids were not honoring their mothers and their fathers. You teach those kids and grandkids, thou shalt not kill. You teach those kids and grandkids, thou shalt not commit adultery. You teach those kids and grandkids, thou shalt not steal. You teach them, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You teach them, thou shalt not covet. That's what he said in verse 10. When you go into the land and you got these judgments and statutes that you're going to teach to your kids and your grandkids, you especially teach them what I put on those two tablets of stone. That was the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. You know, the nations of this world someday would look at the behavior of the people of God and say, surely, man, this is a great nation. It is a wise and an understanding people. And the reason they were a wise and understanding people is because they lived by wise and understanding commandments. And the same is true today. People who are unsaved sometimes look at the kids who are saved and they want that for their children. They like the product. They don't care for the recipe. That's the problem. Employers like to hire young people like the kids in this church. But they balk when the kids say, I can't work on Sunday. Yeah, but I like your work ethic. I like your honesty. I like your integrity. I like the way you look. You don't show up for work all strung out on a high, hungover, and you're here when you're supposed to be. But you can't work on Sunday? I don't get it. Exactly. The product, you don't say this, but the truth of the matter is the product they're looking at is made by the recipe. And part of the recipe is we go to the Lord's house on Sunday. Chase Bank, I think I maybe mentioned this already. One of the higher ups at Chase Bank, Caleb Reardon was in town yesterday. I saw him for a few minutes. Caleb Reardon has climbed the ladder at Chase Bank. And Chase Bank executive, one of the executives up there in that northwest Chicago area, met with Brother Oswardy or one of those folks at the college up there and told him we would hire, maybe it was Brother Woodward, somehow it was Brother Woodward, I think, told him we would hire every Providence Baptist College student. If we could hire them all, we'd hire every one of them. The only problem is they're only here for a couple years. And Brother Woodward said, well, what's their productivity in those 2 years? And the guy said, man, you got a point. I was talking to Kayla Heyman this morning, and I mentioned this very thing to her. And she told me, she said, Culver's hired two college students, Providence College students, on the spot because they were PBC students. And I'm sure that's true about some other Bible colleges as well. People like the product. They don't like the recipe. Because their behavior is not like the behavior of kids who haven't been taught the Ten Commandments. That's the honest truth, okay? People want to put their kids in Faith Baptist Academy. until they read about the requirements for church membership and church attendance and what's allowed and what's not allowed. They want the product, but they don't like the recipe. And I want to say to you young people, while I'm on this subject, as several of you young people are preparing to get jobs for the summer to save for college, you make sure that you are the product employers want. You show up on time. You work hard. You don't flirt with the boys and girls on the job. You be respectful of your shift boss and others. Don't be a lazy scumbag always looking for a way to get out of work. Jump in with both hands and be the product that pleases the boss. And you know what? Maybe they'll get interested in the recipe someday. Maybe they will. These children were supposed to be taught to live by a different code of behavior than the kids live by in the land of Canaan. When you go in there, I don't want you to learn their ways. That's what God told them. I don't want you to follow their, do like they do. I don't want you to behave like they behave. I don't want you to act like they act. So you teach them the Ten Commandments. It's a great moral code. And you help the kids learn that and do their best to live by, not so they can be saved. You don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. That's impossible. But it's a great moral code. They are still good, still right today. And people who live by them, they learn to live for God and treat other people right. They just do. And the truth of the matter is, you know, folks, for those of us my age, a little older, we were talking in the teachers' meeting, you know, about the marijuana dispensary for a few minutes. And Brother Jack McDonald, he just made a comment about the service this morning. And he said, Pastor, in our generation, and Jack, you're 30s, which is a lot of young adults in this room. Our generation, all we've heard is that marijuana, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Smoke it. It won't hurt you. It'll help you. It's not this and it's not that. That's what all the social media. So Jack's already given in, and he just said, that's it, you know. So, yeah, no, don't think so. I have no idea. I have no idea. That's a lie out of hell. That's a lie out of hell. That's a lie of the devil. He'll show you all the quote unquote good things that go along with smoking marijuana, but he'll never show you the true stories. It takes a born again Christian to walk up after the service and say, you know what, my mom and dad got a divorce, and my brother, high on marijuana, killed my mother, our mother, dumped her body in a creek or a river or something. Came down off of his high, called his dad, who was a police officer, and said, Dad, we got to go find mom. Something's happened to her. Can't even remember what he did on that recreational drug. There's no harm in it. That's hogwash. That's a lie out of hell. And their kids are walking into an environment, they're walking into a land, they're walking into a culture that is godless. And he says, you teach your sons, and you teach your sons' sons, and you teach them especially, out of all those statutes and judgments, the Hebrews say there's 613 commandments. That's what they say. But out of all those, if there's 613 commandments, especially, you take those 10 commandments and you drill them into your kids and you drill them into your grandkids, and you're not drilling them into the kids and the grandkids, encouraging them to live for them and maybe you can work your way to heaven. You drill those into them because they are a good foundation of moral behavior. And those commandments will teach them how to live for God. And those commandments will teach them how to treat others. So teach them those 10 commandments. Thirdly, the 10 commandments teach kids how to love God. Say, I don't see that in there. Well, let me help you. 11 times in the Old Testament, The combination of loving God and keeping His commandments are found in the same verse 11 times. Is it any wonder that Jesus said in John 14, 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Loving God and keeping His commandments go hand in hand. And people, loving God is the greatest commandment of all. Okay, you're in Deuteronomy 4. Turn the page to Deuteronomy 6. I know this is old school for some, but not for everybody. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And by the way, look at what he says. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. Wouldn't hurt you to have a copy of the Ten Commandments in a nice frame put somewhere on the wall of your house. Upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers. That's the land we're talking about. To give thee in great goodness that which thou build. It goes on and on here. Beware that you don't forget the Lord. God commanded them. The first commandment. The great commandment. One God. And you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And by the way, you know Jesus reinforced the importance of that command. Because he said in Mark 12 and other places in the Gospels, when he was asked, what is the great commandment? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. Too bad Jesus didn't know the Old Testament was irrelevant. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Teaching our kids, teaching our grandkids the Ten Commandments, encouraging them to live by that moral code. You don't not kill in order to be saved, but not killing, not committing murder is a good moral code to live by because you are saved. And you don't avoid fornication and adultery in order to work your way to heaven, but not committing adultery is a good moral code for kids to live by. For all of us. Teaching our kids, our grandkids, those commandments helps them learn how to love God. Because loving God and keeping His commandments go hand in hand. Is there anything more important than loving God? And it's more than a warm and fuzzy feeling that a person gets when they think about God. And they get this warm and fuzzy feeling. No, no, no. Loving God is obeying God. And there's no better way to obey God than by keeping His commandments. Keeping them. So we need to teach our kids. Teach our grandkids. The moral code of the Old Testament is still a good code. We don't keep it. We're not under the law like they were. We're under grace, but you don't throw out the moral code of this law. It's a good utility, especially those Ten Commandments. It's interesting to look up how many promises in the New Testament are to those who love God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to all saved people. Is that what it says? Nope. To them that love God. How do I show my love for God? Keep His commandments. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for all saved people. Nope. For them that love him. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There are a lot of promises in the New Testament that go hand in hand with those to those who love God, to those who are keeping his commandments. It sounds to me like it's a pretty important thing that we love God and keep his commandments. And that's what Moses told. You teach your kids and you teach your grandkids, especially those commandments that I put on those two tables of stone. You teach them those commandments. Teaching the Ten Commandments to kids teaches them how to love God. Number four, I'm done. The Ten Commandments teaches kids how to love others. Mark 12:31, Jesus said, the second great commandment is like the first, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others. And this is what Jesus said, there is none other commandment greater than these. None. You reckon thou shalt not kill is a good way to treat others? You reckon thou shalt not steal is a good way to treat others? We don't keep that, folks, in order to go to heaven, but we keep that because that's an excellent moral code to live by. Don't steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a good, that's a good commandment to live by when it comes to our treatment of others? Don't covet. Don't bear false witness. The first and second commandments, the first and second great commandments are found in those ten. Love God and love others. And that's what Moses said. You teach your kids, your grandkids, especially those Ten Commandments. I just want to remind parents and grandparents of this one truth. More is caught than taught. So if we want them to get it, we better live by the moral code of the Ten Commandments. They're going to catch it a lot easier by way of the eye gate and the ear gate. Seeing dad and mom, seeing grandma and grandpa, living by the moral code, the greatest moral code that God ever gave to man, those Ten Commandments. Isn't it interesting that in some places in our country they can't even put them in the courthouse now? And we wonder why our country is going down the tube. Going to hell in a handbag. And the behavior of people in this land is despicable. We've rejected God. Rejected the knowledge of God. But it ought not be so among God's people. We need to teach our children that there should have no other God before them. Never to make an idol out of anything, a graven image or anything. To not take the name of the Lord their God in vain. To remember God's day, to make it holy. To honor your father and your mother. That you should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. You should not lie. You should not covet. You know, you wonder sometimes, what do I teach my kids at devotions? What? Well, they know the Ten Commandments since they were 5 years old. I don't care. They're good for 15 years of age. People 15 years, they're good. That's a good moral code of behavior. It's just interesting to me that Moses said, especially the Ten Commandments. that I gave you on those two tables of stone, you teach them to your kids and your grandkids so that they can know how to live for God, how to treat others, how to love God, and how to love others. They get that done? Even heathen people will say, wow, there's something different about that kid. Something different. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help our families. I pray that you'll help the parents and grandparents of this church. And God, a great responsibility has been laid on us with our offspring to teach them, dear God, your book, your truth. To teach them at home throughout the day by example, verbally. To teach them at family devotions. To teach them in Sunday school. Great responsibility on the church. Great responsibility from the pulpit. Especially this wonderful moral code of behavior that teaches us how to live for you and how to treat others and how to love you and how to love others. And it's so good. And it's so right. And Lord, I pray that we would take heed here tonight and renew the parents' commitment to teaching their kids the moral foundation of the Ten Commandments. Help our families. Help our children to get it nailed down so that no young person in this room tonight, 15 years from now, is living like a pagan. Please, oh God, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, my heart's been challenged about this. Maybe you sometimes struggle about what to teach your kids sitting around at night. Well, Moses said, especially teach them the Ten Commandments. Pastor, somewhere along the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart specifically. Can I see your hand tonight wherever you're sitting? Amen, amen, amen. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Parents, take heed. Take heed. Teach your kids. Grandparents, as you have opportunity, teach the grandkids the moral code of the Ten Commandments. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The instruments begin to play. If you need to come tonight, kneel for a minute. You obey the Lord. If you need to be saved, the altar is open for that. If you come for baptism, it's time for that. What do you teach your kids? You teach them, just start with the Ten Commandments and end with them and live them.